Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. I'm breaking in a new Bible. I really dislike breaking in new Bibles. Pages stick together. Nothing is where it belongs. You know, I've had the last one I've had for the last 10, 12 years. But they do wear out. And so, it's just the way it goes. Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 15. I'd tell you what page number it is, but it doesn't, they don't all work out, Giovanna. Yeah, it says here, and this is a section where this is the practical side, the Christian duty side of the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters give us the doctrine and what God has done. 4 through 6 tell us the practical side. Okay, because God has done this, this is how you live. And I wanted to deal with the practical side of life now. It says here in verse 15, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." To walk circumspect means to walk accurately. The Greek word is to walk precisely, accurately. And the opposite of walking accurately in life is to be a fool. All right? Not as a fool, but as wise. The first thing you want to do is not waste time. Redeem the time because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. You know, one of the illustrations I use today is because, you know, everybody's got one of those cell phones, right? And I catch myself doing this sometimes. You start to look at your phone more than you really need to. It's sort of like, you know, you stare at these apps. And they're not changing. They've been there that, you know. But you stare at these stupid things, right? It's like somebody's going to talk to me here. I know I got this little lady Siri in the phone, you know what I mean? And you ask her stupid questions, she comes back with smart aleck answers. And but she's good for spelling. You know, I did this yesterday. Hey, how do you spell this? She gave me, hey, this is worth $1 million. So, but you watch people, and they're not walking circumspectly. They're not walking accurately. They're not, you know, circumspect is you're accurately, but you're also aware of what's going on around you. If you got your face in the phone, you end up walking into a pole. I've seen people do this. You know, they walk into the light pole on the street and fall down the stairs in the subway. I mean, it's really nasty. And they're looking in their phone. That's a fool, you know. If there's plenty of scriptures, I was looking, going through the book of Proverbs, which is also another very practical book, and it talks about how people with haste, people who do things in haste or say things in haste. I mean, this is always a recipe for disaster. You know, we're to live our lives, and the rest of this section is, we're to live our lives, all the aspects of our lives. We're to think it through, and we're to be aware of what's going on around us. Now, this section, next thing goes here, so you don't waste time, all right? Redeem the time because of the days of evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. It's always good and proper. What does the Word of God say about what's going on around me? And be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. You know, I could go and take you to places like talks about alcohol throughout the scriptures, right? But pot's going to be it's the same difference, right? We're talking about making yourself brain dead, all right? So just for fun, I wanted to show you, keep your finger there in Ephesians. Definitely keep your finger there. And go to Proverbs. It's in the center of your Bible. Proverbs chapter 23. This is just a couple of verses that talk about alcohol here. Let me make sure. Proverbs 23, verse 29. It says, "Who hath woe?" Okay. "Who hath woe?" This is not good, woe. It's woe. "Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine." So here is the description of your life when you're consumed with a... Who has got woe? All right? You know, this is like, what's the American version of woe? I don't know. I can't think of it right now, but it isn't good. Talking about your life stinks. All right? Who has got woe? Who hath got sorrow? Who has... contentions, who has babblings, who hath wounds without cause, who hath redness of eyes, they that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself all right. At the last is bitter, like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder. It stings, it gores you like a deer. The antlers of a deer. That's an adder. You let alcohol on your life, this is what it looks like. You know, this is what life looks like. Anything like that. You don't want to be, go back to Ephesians. You don't want to be filled with wine. What is that? Life of misery. Now, it's got nothing to do with having a sip of wine once in a while and dinner. It's got zero, so don't get extreme on me. We're talking about when you belly up to the bar, when you sloshing this thing around, when this is your, that's what we're talking about. All right. When you're staring into, instead of your phone, you're staring into the bottom of your glass all the time. You got a problem. Okay. Back to Ephesians. See, the whole thing is scripture. Is God says, don't be filled with wine. Don't be filled with, why? Because your life's going to be miserable. That's why. He's a father who loves his kids. You know, I tell them, don't play in the street. The car, you know, you're going to get hit by a car. This is called love. Well, I don't want to do that. I can do that. I'm big enough. Well, this is, you know, people don't change much from children to adults when it comes to that kind of stuff. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, you got the Spirit of God he has given to his people because of what Christ has done. you nurture this. You be filled with this. And how? To start out, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is scripture. This is really 101. Give God the praise and the thanks that he deserves. And the more you keep that in your soul, the more you're going to be spiritually directed, spiritually minded. You know, the more you're going to think and appreciate what you have, and not only that, but what he has done. You're going to give glory to the one who deserves the glory. You know, we sing these songs not just to take up time and get everybody in the mood. You know, this is a directive. And it really does put our hearts in a better, more wonderful place. And when things get tough for me, many times, one of my favorite songs is Great is Thy Faithfulness. When things get really tough for me, you know, through the years, I'm singing this thing in my heart. I'm walking around the block singing it. You know, I remember when Chrissy was sick. I mean, that was, I'd be in the parking lot at the hospital singing Great is Thy Faithful, knowing that God loved her more than I did. You know, so many tragedies, other things. These are the things, they help me lock in my brain to him and control my thoughts when they don't want to be controlled. You know what I mean? So, you ever have your brain, it doesn't do what you tell it to do? Mine runs amok. The mind is a terrible thing. But we can. We can control it. And we can turn it around. You know, the rest of this section here, I'm not going to do at the moment. I want to go do in a different direction here. But if you read this, then it says, you submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is what you do with each other. You know, you have the privilege of being here once in a while, right? We got the privilege of being together once in a while. We're to encourage one another, speak to one another, help, because nobody else out there is doing this for you. Dan talks about marriage in this section. And it's just like, it's an illustration of the mystery, but it speaks about marriage. And then it talks about children. You obey your parents. And then it talks about those of you who work for a living. This is how you live your life. Because you go to the work and you do your job as unto the Lord, not unto men. And you guys that are bosses, you remember, you got a boss too. And be dealing with them the way I deal with you. And then pray and stand for the Lord. That's what this whole section, this is practical living. This is not, you know, we're not talking about super spiritual things that we don't do every day. These are things we do every day. Beware what's going on around you. Beware what's happening in your mind. Beware what's happening in your life with each other as believers. Be aware and, hey, I got a job to do. I have a job to do when I meet someone else, another believer. I can either be a blessing or I can be a burden. I can either dump on them or I can build them up. This is walking accurately. What would God have me to do when I meet you, when I talk to you? First of all, it'd be nice to be aware of you. And not just have my face in my mirror, where I'm just aware of me. But regardless, The same thing's true of marriage. You know, that's the relationship where you really take advantage of the other one more than anybody else. Because you're used to each other. You know, I know you guys are just married, so you're still on the honeymoon thing. But what happens in life is you become accustomed, you become less and less considerate of each other because they're always there. Do you see what I mean? Instead of thinking, hey, I have a responsibility, I have a job, I have a service, I have this person who's dedicated themselves to me for the rest of their life, and taking care of that thing in an accurate and wonderful way. You know? Same thing with kids. Most young people, when I do camps, they're always thinking that their parents wouldn't understand. The children, you know, and that's what happens, that, you know, somehow because the minds are not exactly wherever you have the parent's mind, which has a responsibility to do something a certain way. And then you have the young people's minds, which are, hey, I got to grow up and be independent. There's this, and what happens is they think their parents really don't understand. So they feel isolated. But the scripture tells, hey, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Because this, you're going to end up living a whole lot longer and be a whole lot more blessed. How wonderful. How just simple. But if you don't understand that, then the relationship can get ugly. You know, I hate you. You know, because the kid don't get it, don't understand it, or maybe the parents are frustrated too. Nobody's perfect. Point is, everybody's got a job. We're doing this for the Lord, and we do it precisely, accurately, because there's a huge benefit for God, for us, and for others. And if you take care of your business, so my father always said, take care of your own business. If you take care of your business, I tell you what, if you're diligent at it, it goes well, much better than if you don't. But let's go back to this verse, because this is where I want to speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the book of Psalm, go there. Let's go to Psalm 27 first. Every one of these psalms is a song. I don't know the tune. And I don't think it's really kind of like our music. You know what I mean? I don't know what they sounded like. But I tell you what, you got the lyrics. And the lyrics or that which God has given us. Psalm 27. And whether you think about these things, like I said, these are all songs. This is what the people of God sang. And we read them. You can read them as lyrics, as poetry, whatever you want. But the point of the matter is, you got this in your heart. You're singing these kinds of words in your heart. You're thinking these kinds of thoughts. This is building and helping you control your thoughts and mind so that you can prosper and live a spiritually beautiful life. I mean, you can either listen to this or you can watch Archie Bunker, I mean, you know, on the TV. Most of you don't know who Archie is. He was, what a train wreck he was. So, and Psalm 27 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" God is really your light and salvation. If you got that kind of connection, what do you got to worry about? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, and my heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that in that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. This is the one thing that David sought. You know, he was king. He ruled. He had all this stuff going on around him. The life around him was negative. It was filled with enemies. It was filled with all kinds of stuff. And yet, he says, this is the one thing I want, Lord. That's quite a heart and quite a mind. Verse 5, "For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle. Shall he hide me? He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up upon my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy." See, it's not animals. It's joy. He's going to give him joy. Now think about this. Here's a man, like he said, he's the king of a kingdom. He's got wars. People want to fight with him all the time. He's got enemies inside the kingdom, even in his own family. And yet he gives God joy. Remember what we read last week? Just to remind you, those of you who were here, James chapter 1, there's a command there. First thing God's people need to get in their head is their attitude towards stuff that comes to them in their life. "Count it all joy when you are tempted with divers many temptations." It's not a suggestion. It's a command. If you're going to beat the stuff that comes at you, no matter what it is, every time this counted joy, you're going to see God work. You're going to see, whoa, I wonder what he's going to do to fix this one. But it's got to be your attitude. And then, because it says you got to ask in faith. You ask him for wisdom. What do I do? How do I deal with this? What's going on? You got to ask in faith, because if you don't have faith in it, you ain't going to get nothing from him. These are not suggestions. These are just like a parent would say to their child, don't play in the street. Walk on green, not on red. Look both ways. They're not suggestions. So you count it, stuff comes, count it joy. You're going to see God do his thing. Back to this. Where was I?
Verse 4.
Verse 6. Try to make me do it again. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle the sacrifice of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Sound familiar in Ephesians 5? It's the same direction. It's the same direction. You choose where your mind's going to go here. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, when you ask me to seek your face, my heart saith unto thee, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Whatever you direct me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Hey, your mom and dad cut you loose? God's got you. He's got your back. He's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Most moms and dad don't leave, but there are those that do. Whatever the thing, he's there. Teach me thy ways, O Lord. Lead me in a plain path. Keep it simple. Lead me in a plain path because of my enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are risen against me, such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Look at that verse 13 again. I had fainted, and I would quit unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's talking about the kingdom to come, eternity. Now, if you don't have that as your goal, we'd all quit. You know, it's really the truth. If you don't have a purpose, what's the point? But for the believer, my purpose is I want to be in this kingdom that's coming. I want to be with my Lord, with my God. I want to be with all those that love him, my family. And because this life is really short. You know, this is a heartbreaker, you know what I mean? It's really short. And I know you don't believe that yet, because I didn't believe it when I was your age either. But it gets real evident later on. You know, when I became Christian to begin with, you know, I'm kind of hoping, well, man, I'm having too much fun. Lord, don't come back yet. You know? And, you know, I was looking for, yeah, I'd like to be with the Lord, but not yet. And it talks seriously about that in Hebrews 11, where it talks about Moses when he was come to years. His perspective changed, and he considered the riches of Christ and what was coming bigger than the throne in Egypt and the riches that he had there. But it says he came to years. I mean, it takes perspective a lot of times. You all get it eventually. Go to Psalm 103. This is a beautiful psalm. Mary, you got a favorite one. Which one? 121? 121. Yeah, 121. She reads all the time. Go find yourself the psalm that you want to put in your soul and in your life. I mean, when things get tough, you go to it. Because this is how to... This is one of the things that God says. You want to walk accurately, circumspectly, spiritually? You want to live for me? Then it's the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. This is how you strengthen your brain to walk and to keep walking with him. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He makes known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. It's not, he'll get upset with you, but he won't stay that way. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. Because if he had, guess what? We'd be history a long time ago. We wouldn't even be a grease spot. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquity. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. As far as the east, this is one of the reasons the two or three verses in the scriptures that talk about the earth, God sits upon this throne in the circle of the earth. This verse here, just a side note, little history. Christopher Columbus and the other guys, everybody believed the earth was flat. The scripture said it wasn't. So you can go as far as the north is from the south. That's a distance, because you go north and then all of a sudden you're starting to go south. But as far as the east is from the west, if you're going east, you just keep going east. You never really meet the West. You just keep going east. I mean, when was this written? 4,000 years ago. So just little wonderful little clues. The man would take his life into his hands, those guys in those ships. They'd literally... Yeah, I'm going to keep going until I fall off. I ain't going if I'm thinking that. That's just a side note. But how beautiful, how accurate, how wonderful. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our sins from us. I mean, that kind of forgiveness, that kind of mercy is, there's no end to it. Verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that that's all we are. As for a man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth, and the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, them that love him, respect him, keep him in the place that he belongs. And his righteousness unto children's children. Let's just read the rest of it. Unto children's children, to such as keep his covenants, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, and excel in strength that do his commandments. Hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all you his host, you ministers of his, and do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places, for his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Isn't that awesome? If you want to really walk in your everyday life, he's teaching us. You walk accurately. You understand what the will of the Lord is. Guess what? It's one of the biggest books in the Bible. And then, you praise him. Forget about the world's way in which dealing with stuff is, like drinking. Be filled with the Spirit. Psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing in your heart. You remember who your Father is. You remember that he is with you, that what he has got for you. You encourage yourself with him. And deal with life the way it rolls. So that's what I wanted to share with you today.